Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We live in an increasingly dangerous world. The blowback against Christianity in the West is simply mind-boggling. When Christians communicate that gender is not arbitrary, but it has real meaning, that it is rooted in a biblical worldview, ultimately grounded in biology, they are now laughed out of court. And when states and civilizations determine gender based on biology, they pay an enormous cost. The NBA has cost Carolina somewhere in the vicinity of $100 million by pulling the All-Star game. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Gender fluidity is now considered the norm. The idea that gender is based on biology, the aberration. How things have changed. The social engineering, the experimentation that's taking place today, again, is mind-boggling. But all of that is what we would call soft persecution. Christians are not as yet being killed for their faith. At least not in the West. And at least not regularly, if at all. But you think about what's happening in places like Homs or Aleppo or Mosul. Mass genocide against Christians. And you think it can never come to the West until you open the newspaper this morning or read the news or hear the news, and a priest is murdered by the Islamic State in France during morning mass. His throat is slit by jihadists who force him to his knees. Now, we dare not say Islamic jihadists because that's politically incorrect. And the problem today is that we are beset with political correctness that is driving us to our knees. And we think that the Islamic State is a JV team that cannot ultimately prevail, but how short our memories really are. Greece defeated Persia. Or think of another small power defeating a large one. And you have to think no further than North Vietnam prevailing against the overwhelming military power of the U.S. That's in my lifetime. So we cannot afford the shallowness of American presidents and prime ministers in other countries, world leaders who dare not name the religions and ideologies that threaten Western civilization. because they're not the solution. They're part of the growing problem. We live in a topsy-turvy world, and I am utterly convinced that the only solution to this kind of a world is Christians like you, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect, not politically correct Christians, but biblically correct Christians. Some of you may remember just a week or two ago when I did a series of broadcasts in which I mentioned Black Lives Matter movement. The outrage was palpable. Many, many people said that they were going to stop supporting this ministry because I spoke out against this movement. A movement, by the way, that is for the disruption of the nuclear family. I mean, that's one of their main core values. An organization that denigrates marriage and the nuclear family. I mean, think about it. And yet Christians are on board with this movement because they feel it serves a useful purpose. I read a letter on the air not long ago that took me on directly in this regard, and I did so respectfully. But here's another letter. This is from a law enforcement police officer of 25 years and a longtime listener who says, I wanted to take the time to offer you support and thank you for speaking the truth about BLM and ISIS, even when the truth is not politically correct or causes you backlash. Without any question, BLM is a racist hate group and arguably a domestic terror group. Black Lives Matter is a subset of the social justice movement, which is a front for organized Marxism. When BLM launches protests in cities, it is not the local black citizenry within the target area who are protesting. It is instead paid professional protesters from different cities who are funded by Marxist-leaning organizations, and they are there to foment outrage, distrust, and sow the seeds of racial hatred among those in the community where the protests are taking place. For example, the murder of police officers in Baton Rouge was from Missouri. Each and every day, as police trainer, I receive daily email updates about how we in law enforcement community are to take proactive measures to protect ourselves and our families, even in our own homes, because BLM is searching social media and the internet to track us down. Every time my little girls step outside the house, I have to worry if they're going to be targeted. Those are the actions of BLM, and the organization is most certainly a hate group. When you speak the truth about radical Islam and ISIS, I find it refreshing. However, after every Islamic attack, I wonder, where are the moderate Muslims? Why are they not speaking out about this as you do and as I do? The same logic applies to BLM. When I heard you during your broadcast last Friday that you have been inundated with emails from African Americans who were angry that you referred to BLM as a hate group, I was extremely saddened. BLM, with the unfortunate support of some mainstream African American citizens, is long on hyperbole, short on facts. Allegations of police and white racism, regardless of clear and convincing evidence to the contrary, seems to hold such power over their community that rational thought is often cast aside. When blacks who are not members of the fringe left wing, BLM, endorse the tactics involved in the ambush murders of police officers, I know that we are a nation in a potential death spiral. I would never endorse the shooting of blacks who were not at the time of their being shot actively trying to take someone else's life. However, the blacks who express their outrage towards you are calling for exactly that against police officers, most of whom have been white. As it stands, blacks comprise 13% of the population, commit 52% of American murders and 82% of attempted murders and murders of police officers. There's a problem with violence in the African-American community, but that is ignored, and instead men like you who speak the truth are verbally chastised. Racism knows no race and is not a view held solely by the dominant group regardless of BLM's propaganda. In my 25-year law enforcement career, I have determined that regardless of race, it is very easy not to get shot by the police by simply complying with arrest. It seems simple. Don't fight. Don't resist. Don't run. Don't punch the officer. Don't try to take the officer's gun. In almost all state statutes, citizens are ordered by the law to submit peacefully to arrest, even if the arrest is unlawful, and allow due process to work. If the officer made an unlawful arrest, charges will be dropped, and the wrongfully arrested person can file a civil suit. The police are part of the executive branch of government and are God's ordained servants. For BLM and its supporters in the African-American community to call upon the ambush and slaughter of American police officers is a shameful affront to God and civilized society. The outpouring of support for the police from communities all around my state has been nothing short of miraculous. Churches send emails on a daily basis to my former agency extolling the police to stay strong and offer prayers and food for officers. The majority of our citizens know that what Black Lives Matter is doing is wrong, and we are in policing, and we do it because it's right. And we see support every day. It rivals the love we received after 9/11. Thank you for your courage and strength in speaking the truth and love in a world lost in political correctness and immorality. There will be a price for you to pay. You too could become the target of BLM's vitriol, a hate that is blinded by racial bias, lies, and misinformation. So please, always be safe. And know that you were right. BLM is a hate group, respectfully. And then the officer that wrote the letter to me says, P.S., for personal and family security reasons, I would ask to remain anonymous if my letter is formally addressed on air. Now, again, I've given both sides of this story from passionate people who listen to this broadcast. And respectfully, I have declined to comment in both cases, except to say that I make no bones whatsoever about the Black Lives Matter movement, where their principles defy very clearly biblical principles. In fact, not only defy biblical principles, but cut to the very core of civil society. There is no more destructive notion than the disruption of the nuclear family. We know the sociological metrics. They're clear. Gender-differentiated parenting, a mother and a father, is best for a child. And we have embarked upon all too many social experiments that have damaged children and caused our civilization to spiral out of control. And it is about time that Christians spoke up, because if you do not speak up now, you will soon find out that there's no one to speak up for you in the end. We are called to be salt and light, and we cannot lose our saltiness. I do ask people to stand for this ministry in the battle for life and truth, shoulder to shoulder. Without you, I can't do what I do. Political correctness has run amok. We're paying a grave price, and the price I will pay is infinitesimally small compared to the price that future generations will pay. So again, we ask people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When I come back from the break, I will be going directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be right back with answers.
Ideas have consequences. So does bad theology. In fact, Hank Hanegraaff observes Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters are suffering in the Holy Land in part because too many American Christians don't know the future from the past. And they're convinced that the land promises God made to Abraham are as yet unfulfilled. Their critical error is failing to see that all the types and shadows of the Old Covenant, including the Holy Land of Israel, the Holy City of Jerusalem, and the Holy Temple, already have been fulfilled in Christ. In three powerful resources, Hank addresses the very real consequences of biblical interpretation run amok. Receive Hank's special article, A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism, his book, The Apocalypse Code, or his end-time fiction novel, Fuse of Armageddon, by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A popular poster reminds us that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's difficult in a world where we're constantly bombarded by distractions and the roar of the media that gets louder by the day, and where the temptations to major on the minor are relentless. But as soft persecution mounts for Christians in the West, and growing numbers of lives are lost to the brutal persecution of Christians around the world, we cannot afford the derailments that could result from these distractions. Because the work of equipping fellow believers to think and live Christianly has never been more critical, let us hear from you today. To make a difference in the ongoing struggle for truth and life, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go right to our phone caller. First up is James in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well,
nice
thank
to talk
you.
To you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, look here, I got a couple of questions, and then I got a point. I hope you afford me the time to get my point, because it won't be long. But the officer, the letter, I guess you were reading a letter.
I was, yes.
Okay, and one of the points he made, if I'm understanding, he was talking about how that black people have a problem with violence or an issue with violence, and he said that the majority of cop killings were committed by black people. Did I hear you correctly? Is that what he said?
Well, yeah, what he said was, as it stands, blacks comprise 13% of the population but commit 52% of American murders and 82% of attempted murders and murders of police officers.
Okay. Well, I know for a fact that the data for cop killings for this year is the majority, and for all years, the majority of cops have been murdered by white people, not black people. Now, if he's talking about some kind of rate or something, then he needs to quantify that. But if he's saying total number of people killed, he's inaccurate. Being a cop, he should know better than that.
So if you look, James, if you look just at the last, let's say, and this for me is not something that I have the statistics at the top. It's not an area of my expertise, to be honest with you. But if you look at, let's say, the last couple of months, would you say that the vast majority of white policemen or policemen in general were killed by African Americans or not?
Yes, but that pales in comparison to the total number of cops that have been killed this year, Hank.
Oh, really? So you're saying that the vast majority are killed by white people?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I stand by that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, what I was also going to say is this guy is saying that, you know, that black people, and I paraphrase, black people is in some kind of fantasy land that there's no problem with police brutality. But he's way off. I mean, there's ample of example at your fingertips on Google of black people and other people, of course, being terrorized by cops, shot, killed, beat up. And the problem is that 99% of the time, they're not held accountable. When we start talking about accountability, they don't break past this blue wall of silence. How come?
Okay, but James, I can't talk about every case, but I have followed the cases over the last couple of months. And really during the last year, and every single one of the, for example, the policemen in Baltimore, all of them have been tried.
Yes, they've been tried, but I guarantee you, none one of them is going to be held accountable, okay? Nobody's been held accountable. Even when we have video, and hear me out, even when there's video recordings of people's rights being violated, people being beat, brutalized, shot, cops are still not being convicted. And the blue wall of silence is police, good cops know about these bad cops in the ranks, and they won't break past the blue wall of silence and tell the truth.
So you're saying, James, that there is a conspiracy within the police department to kill African Americans?
I'm saying that the police has a certain way of doing business, and some of them do target black people. I'm not saying all police do. Some of them do target black people, but in general, the police is like a gang, and they don't break that wall size. And the ones who want to are afraid of retribution. And if you look at the cops who have come forward, look at what has happened to them since they've come forward. And all I'm asking this guy is, let's not pretend like there is a problem. Black people are not making this up. This exists. It insults my intelligence when people get on platforms like yours or any other platform and try and act like black folk or delusional. We're not delusional. These problems.
Well, I haven't acted like that at all. In fact, I took an entire program to read a letter from a man named Derek who took me to task for my position on Black Lives Matter. And my position on Black Lives Matter was not a position of what they do in terms of violence or don't do in terms of violence, but rather in terms of their core values, one of which is to disrupt the nuclear family, which is the building block of civilization. So that's where my criticism was.
I heard you talk about that, and let me make a point about that real quick.
Sure.
You're correct on that, but that's not how Black Lives Matter started out. Somewhere along the line, they adopt the leaders, the original leaders adopted some type of homosexual gay agenda. But what I'm saying is when people get together with Black Lives Matter to protest brutalization of black people, we're not protesting or going along with, you know, that particular agenda. Where most of us are not even aware of that, so we're not on board with any of that stuff. We're concerned about people's constitutional rights not being violated. So I just wanted you to understand that part of, yes, they have adopted that for whatever reason. I have no idea, but that's not what the majority of black people are getting on board to protest violence against black people. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, and I really do very much thank you for calling in and having the discussion.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Glenn in Newark, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Glenn.
Yes, Hank. I was wanting to make a statement here, and then I'll ask the question and then
sure.
Let you answer it off the air or off the phone. Sorry. Basically, you're in a mood here where you read a letter about the BLM and identifying it as a terrorist or something like that. Couldn't hear it all. I was going through tunnels and things like that. But
yes.
I did hear enough of it that it was like, well, you know, you also mentioned about the forefathers who started the country, used Christian values, things of that nature, so on and so forth. So as a minority Christian that experiences similar actions that the early colonies had, when they were starting up and writing the Declaration of Independence, they identified and called out the king of Great Britain that he was doing things similar that I see today that a lot of the members of the color community are experiencing that they called out. But they were using Christian values and Christian ideologies to make their point against what the British was doing to them. They were brutalized by the guards for the king and things of that nature. They were calling these things out. And that is something that went well with going against the Great Britain and the king and things of that nature. How does a person today who experiences these things that needs someone to even point out to say, hey, there is a problem. My idea of the BLM, Black Lives Matter, is that it's similar to what a firefighter has. It's not so much that only Black Lives Matter. It's Black Lives Matter too. Maybe that's what it should be.
Well, and I think from a biblical perspective, what we're saying is all lives matter, and certainly to put the emphasis on Black Lives Matter, if in fact blacks are unduly being persecuted and killed and vilified and so forth, I think it's perfectly acceptable. I would have no problem with that whatsoever. You're making an emphasis where the problem is. But the issue here for me is a different issue. The issue for me is, what does this organization stand for? It stands for the very thing that is at the heart, or put another way, the systemic problem in civilization and society. They want the destruction of the family, and they're actively pursuing that. And that's my beef with the organization. I do not have the wherewithal to ferret everything else out. And what I've tried to do is even-handedly discuss this matter such that we don't simply cast a blind eye to it as though that there is no problem. There is a problem, and it's a very significant problem. But what I'm looking for is not low-hanging fruit or a cheap solution, but a real solution, because this is a terrifying situation within our culture. And you know, we have a horrible history. When you look at how African Americans have been treated in our culture, I mean, it's a horrible history. I mean, I was watching a documentary on this the other day, and then doing a lot of research on the facts, and the history is a horrifying history.
Yeah, and I appreciate you pointing this out. There's not a lot of people that are non-people of color that point that there is an issue and that there is a problem. And, you know, these are things that I think color community suffers from, that, oh, there's a lot of people that say, oh, you're making this up, or no, you're doing this or doing that. Well, why else would the police do that? And sometimes when you see things on TV, you know, I even ask myself, you know, are we in a police state or are we in the United States? And, you know, I have people that have we served in every military combat since the beginning of American history, and still this thing, things you see on television, you see things was going on in our communities. That's not fair. It's not right for some certain group of a society to be treated a certain way. And
well, I'm glad we're having the conversation, because I'll be honest with you, I have been oblivious to a large degree to the problem. I've always just seen people as people. I was born in a different country. The whole idea that people are distinguished from one another in a way that includes bigotry, just foreign to my sensibilities. I still see people as people. And in fact, it's been hard for me to even append the words African-American to a person. I think, why? It's a person created in the image and likeness of God. So the conversation has opened my eyes a great deal as well. I have not been aware that this has eluded me, because I've just seen people as people. And so the conversation has been healthy for me. But look, I still have a great deal of difficulty with Black Lives Matter. It cuts to the core of what biblical Christianity stands for. It is a movement that is antithetical to biblical values. And that has nothing to do with race. It has to do with people in general. Coming to station break, we'll be right back in just a few moments with my answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
How do I interpret the book of Revelation? What is dispensationalism? Does what I believe about the end times really matter? In his book, The Apocalypse Code, Hank Hanegraaff demonstrates through sound methods of interpretation what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. To receive your copy of The Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned.
Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn is unaware that global catastrophe is hours away. He's equally unaware of how his past is about to betray him. When he's sent into a hostage situation in the Gaza Strip with the woman who arrested him, they become unlikely allies fleeing for survival. Only the two of them can stop an unholy trinity prepared to trigger a final battle of civilizations and prevent the coming Armageddon. The issue of extreme religio-political ideologies has never been more relevant. Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer co-authored Fuse of Armageddon to entertain as well as to inform you about the dangers Christians face worldwide from terrorism. To receive your copy of Fuse of Armageddon as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. This election season makes clear that we're faced with critical choices, choices that will impact our nation and our world for decades to come. As the assaults on life and truth grow daily, you don't have to take them sitting down. You can stand with CRI to make a daily difference in the very real battle for our future. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone calls. Next up is James, listening in Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I'm just out here on the road ministering. I'm a, you know, chaplain for truck drivers, so I get out here and minister, and I listen to your show daily.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to make a couple points.
Sure.
You know, other callers kind of stipulated on it, but I've had a long talk with my daughter, my oldest daughter, about this, and, you know, because she was saying, well, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, and I was like, yeah, all lives matter, until, you know, I had the position where all lives matter, you can't specify. But the thing about Black Lives Matter, the reason why I think it was started from what I've seen is because the way blacks were treated during arrest. And I didn't know this until she had me Google all this and go online. I had to see it for myself. And it was instances where the black lives started because it was instances when a white person got arrested, they were treated totally different than a black person. Even with men with guns, were treated like, put the gun away, go back home, you know, it was on tape. And then the men, the black man that had a gun, it was treated totally different. That's one thing. Number two, that letter you just read, last week, I'm a truck driver. I was driving down 294 in Chicago. A guy said that same thing you just said, word for word, exactly. He was a truck driver. And he called me. The only reason I'm saying that because you read what he said to me over the CB word for word. And I'm thinking that's not even a cop, because this guy, he said, well, black people, y'all worthless, you know. Y'all, they're 14% of the population. Y'all commit 55% of the crimes. You're useless, you're worthless. And, you know, he went on every race, every rant and every race. And then I told him, I said, we're all not like that. You're stereotyping us, you know, like that. But he had this build up hate in his heart all the way for like 15, 20 miles. And finally we got to the end. He thought I was going to make a rebuttal, like go back and forth. And I said, well, whatever you do, driver, whatever you say, I love you. And you can't stop that. And I love you with the love of Jesus. So he shut up after that. And that's my response for a lot of stuff, you know, because I'm out here all the time. I'm hearing this stuff. We get called so many racial names. And you know, I'm not having nobody feel sorry for us. We men, we could take it. But it is a distinction in the arrest. The Black Lives started out to be, it wasn't like they were separating. They were just letting you know that Black Lives Matter. When we get arrested, treat us like you treat everybody else when you get arrested. Now, it has been infiltrated for political gain. You know, it didn't start out like where it's at right now. And then, you know, when it came to, you know, publicity and money, and then getting close with the Democratic Convention and all that, it didn't start out like that, you know, and it's been corrupted, you know, so I can see what you're
saying. Now, are you absolutely sure about that?
Huh?
Are you absolutely sure about that?
Yeah, it started out just for, because it all happened with Trayvon Martin when he was killed by Zimmerman, and he wasn't even a cop. But, you know, everything was, you know, it seemed like Black Lives didn't matter because the way everything was going as far as the rest, that other caller hit the nail on the head. And from now, from this beginning of this year until now, it's been 600 people killed by police officers, and most of them wasn't held accountable for. There's a blue line that can't be crossed. The good police won't cross it because they're afraid for their lives. It's almost like a mafia inside a mafia. Now, there's some good cops. I got best friends on the police force, you know, in Chicago. They fear for their lives because of the murder rate in Chicago. But as far as that blue line, it is a blue line, and they're like gangsters. It's like a gangster. It's like a gang within a gang. And, you know, and so the good cops, it's so many videos.
So but what you're saying is that, I mean, there are many police officers, police chiefs who have come forward, and they're African American. They're incredibly bright, intelligent, forthcoming. But you're saying that they're part of a gang, that they have a conspiracy going.
I'm saying not everybody. Now you got that wrong. Not everybody's not like that. But it's inside the police.
But I mean, these are people that are leading whole forces of police.
Right. Well, they don't know everything that's going on because there's so many that. One girl lost her job. She was put on death duty about 2 weeks ago because she got on Facebook and said what was going on. And it is going on. It's that blue line that you can't cross. And, you know, and that caller, that first call we had hit everything word for what I was going to say, you know. And, you know, we could be naive. You looking at it from one side, we're looking at it from another, but we see it, you know. I see people. I live in the main city of Chicago. I see people that are arrested and treated differently.
Well, I think racism is a horrendous evil, and that's one of the reasons I'm happy that it's being discussed on the broadcast. But it's also a horrendous evil to say things that are incorrect, and so I think all of us have to be very careful about what we're communicating publicly.
Right. Well, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So,
yeah.
And, you know, and when I see all this happen, we're depending on, even in this election, I'm going to say this and I'm done. Even with this election and even in the last 8 years, we have put our trust in men to turn something that only Jesus can fix. This is a supernatural mess. This whole thing.
It is, but we're his arms and his feet. It is, but we are his arms and his feet, and we have to set the standard as Christians for the rest of the world.
Right. But we gotta, you know, we like my wife always say, pray and fast. My wife came up in Arkansas when the water fountains were separate and they had blacks only, and the white people used to use the bathroom and the blacks water fountain, the public water. So she's seen all this. So when we get all this, hey, God needs people to work through. We are instruments. We have to be available for, you know, for God to use us. But we also have to be true to ourselves. It's a lot of Christians is not really walking as they're supposed to walk. So we're not seeing the supernatural help of God right now. We're not hearing from him right now because everybody's not doing what they're supposed to do. But
hey,
we
James,
are putting faith in man. Go ahead.
I appreciate your call. I got so many people hanging on, and I got so little time. I don't want to be rude to you, but thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. Derek next in Nashville, Tennessee, WCRV. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm the Derek that wrote the letter last week, and I just want to say I really appreciate you doing that, and I appreciate the heart with which you did it.
Hmm.
But I've been listening today, and I just wanted to take issue with one thing that you said, and the other callers have pretty much, you know, they beat the dead horse, so to speak. But just I want to echo what they said in agreement. But also I wanted to say that the thrust of my letter was not taking you to task about the Black Lives Matter movement. So that's the thing. I didn't want that to be mischaracterized, because the thrust of my letter and the reason behind it was because of the evangelical silence on this issue that has, you know, now, I mean, I can't say that this is my first week listening to this show. You know, it would be like, man, everybody's views are represented and everything, but up until this point, it had been pretty much silent, and evangelicalism in total has been silent or has kind of been in a bubble about the realities of the situations that we face in life as Black people in America. So I just wanted to say that, you know, the thrust of my letter, for those who didn't hear it or for those who may...
And I can affirm that. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And listening to what you were reading in that letter earlier today, you know, I agree with a lot of that. And like I wrote to you, as I do research and as I find out more and more about the actual movement, Black Lives Matter, you know, I kind of fall to the wayside on certain issues, like with the thing about the nuclear family and wanting to break it up, and, you know, the orientation of the women who started it. You know, I've heard rumors and this and that, but I just don't want to look like, you know, we Christians can't go off half-cocked and then end up looking crazy because we have believed something that wasn't necessarily true. So I just kind of withhold judgment until I find out for myself on those things. But in as much as those three words, Black Lives Matter, are said, you know, I believe that to be true, not necessarily in solidarity with the movement 100%, but just Black lives do matter, and everybody else has said it. We're not saying that our lives matter more. It's just that our lives matter as much, and I do think that...
Sure, and that's where the issue is right now, and so I don't have any problem whatsoever with that moniker. I mean, if all of the things are true, as they have been communicated over and over again on this broadcast, that there is this incredible racial bias, and particularly within the police department, then there should be an emphasis on Black Lives Mattering, if that's a systemic problem.
Yeah,
but what I'm trying, there are a couple of things I want to say to you. Number one, I read your letter because I really appreciated your letter. And I read the whole thing. I thought, you know, this has to be heard. Secondly, I think that your point is a very good point. I think that there is a problem of people living in a bubble and not understanding or having even a discussion, an open, honest discussion on this subject.
Right.
And that's really what I want to foster.
Man, that's just absolutely great. And I do have friends, and I wasn't trying to, you know, be derisive or whatever, but I was just trying to let you know that there are Black friends of mine, and like my wife just said, a lot of Black people that listen to the show, because over the years it has been more and more, and it's surprising to me and it's pleasing to me. And I just wanted to put it out there, because that's the thing that really breaks my heart, is just the silence and the separation. But the church, the last two churches I've attended, are struggling to break through that barrier on purpose, you know, not to make the race a primary function of the church, but to make it a necessary function to deal with the issues and not to just come into church, like you said, don't leave our brains in the narthex of the church. When we come in, just look at the realities of the life that we have to live when we leave the church and not just act like it's a euphoric situation.
Yeah.
And I have many white friends that have come to understand life as we know it and vice versa. You know, I understand life as they know. But one thing I did want to say, you know, with statistics and everything, I agree that those statistics were greatly skewed. And I agree with the caller because I've looked at a bunch of different stats. And obviously, when you factor in the numbers of black people that are in poverty or in impoverished situations and all kinds of things we'd be talking about as to why that is, because, you know, Irish people used to be in that situation and Italian people back in the early 1900s. And they were the ones that were looked at as the ones who committed crimes and stuff. So I think if you put people in that situation, those things will happen. But the dangerous part is, When you go down the road,
I'm almost out of time, Derek. I don't want to cut you off. I'm just almost out of time. I just wanted to say that this to me is an important discussion. A, and that's why we're having the discussion. B, the police officer that wrote me is a very credible police officer, and that's why I read his letter on the air. Again, the discussion shouldn't be a one-sided discussion. It should be a discussion that takes into consideration the various viewpoints and ultimately what needs to prevail, and particularly from the perspective of a Christian, is truth. Truth matters. Life and truth matter. It's not just truth. It's also how you live out that truth in the real cauldron of life. And brother, thank you so much for the honor of writing me as long a letter as you did and for calling me back on the broadcast. My apologies to thousands of you calling in. Sorry I can't get to you. But what I've said about Black Lives Matter is true. They say we are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure and much, much more. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an obsession, resulting in rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or complicated charts. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to very controversial questions. What does it mean to take the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible literally? Who is the Antichrist? And how does our view of the end times influence the way we think about the crisis in the Middle East? To receive your copy of the Apocalypse Code as our thanks for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical.
In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.